Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Wayne for the bomb. Lob City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around. Tears from their eyes. Knees on the ground. Money in the sky. Take a look around. Ain't shit nice. Praying for my life. Hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
Hanley drives it to center field. That's all deep. Back to Schaefer. At the wall.
Take a look around.
My goodness. An absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southern Most Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It is another beautiful Thursday night, and you are live with the Zen Man and Hootie. What's going on, Hootie?
Having a great night, Mr. Zen Man.
Let's get into some sports. We've got a variety of top news for y'all today. The weekend news, Hurricane Isaac obviously landed as a hurricane in New Orleans. LSU had to cancel practice. No surprise, obviously, but they're on schedule to play their first game this week. NFL news, they will use replacement refs for week one. And, I mean, it's a serious issue. You know, I know they played college, I guess, but, I mean, it's already been a big issue. I don't blame the refs. I mean, they didn't ask for this at all. They just kind of got thrown in the position, and they're making rough calls, but you know, they're trying. The fans are being a little harsh, I guess, but the NFL, once again, is kind of ruining everything, and they're not paying the refs what they deserve. I mean, it's a tough game to be out there in the middle of 22 big guys trying to get every call right, you know? There's so much on the line for what they make the game. They're the ones that make or break games, and you know they're getting paid so much less than the players. It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, who do you blame for this? Do you blame the NFL? Do you blame the refs?
I don't blame the refs for this. I mean, the refs are just fighting for their fair pay for what goes around. And like Stephen A. was saying, I blame the NFL for not putting more priority on getting this resolved before the season began. You know, they should have put, just like, you know, with the lockout with the NFL and with the NBA and stuff like that, that should have been priority number one. They knew there were no problems with the players, so focus on getting this done with the refs, because it's just going to make for bad business. People are going to be upset. Now they're talking about reviewing more calls so that the substandard refs, or, you know, scabs, as a lot of people say, get the calls right, because they don't want to mess up the game and have bad calls. But it's also going to stretch the game out time-wise, because now you're going to be reviewing every other play when you think the ref. Or people are going to be like, I want to replay on this, because they don't trust these refs to get it right. And it's important. I mean, they can make or break a team season with some bad calls.
Well, yeah, I don't mind the extra few minutes to get a call right. If it's only for a few games, you know they're going to be back pretty soon. But I heard they're only paying the refs about $8,000 a game, so... You know, how much does it really cost the NFL to agree with what the refs want? You know, they're not asking for that much more. And, you know, the NFL is a multi-million, maybe close to $1 billion company. I don't know how much they make. You know, it's more than just thousands of dollars. Yeah. And they're worried about a few thousand to play in the refs, and they're ruining everybody's seasons. It's just stupid. Moving on, though, college football news again. Wisconsin's running back Monte Ball had a concussion last month from being jumped from three men. And those three men are now arrested in suspicion of the incident. Yeah, it's kind of stupid. Michael Vick predicts that he will play 16 games. I heard he got a new vest or some sort to help protect him. If you guys realize, he's only, I believe, 5'9 or something. He's obviously the fastest quarterback out there. You know, when he's that small, getting hit by big linemen, it is what it is. But he's obviously potentially one of the best quarterbacks out there. You saw how he played last year. You know, he just missed some time. But if he's healthy, you know, I really do like the Philadelphia Eagles' chances. He's a great player. And if he can mend with DeSean Jackson, Macklin, all those players, LeSean McCoy, they have possibly the best offense out there if they can get him healthy. And, you know, I think they had a bad year last year, but I see more from them this year. NFL news, Kenny Britt, wide receiver from Tennessee, suspended one game for his DUI. He's a pretty good wide receiver for Tennessee, so he's suspended for one game. Radio host Alan Pinkett fired after saying college teams need a few criminals to win a title. He said, "You look at the teams that have won in the past; they have always had a couple of criminals, and after that, it's been obviously all over ESPN." And he's now fired from his radio, and you see this every year, every now and then, a radio. Just one guy says the wrong thing, and he gets national. I mean, I guess the Raiders probably didn't care until it got nationally publicized, and they want to make a good name for themselves, so they had to fire him. Baseball news, obviously we talk about Steven Strasburg. The Nationals say he's got about 2-3 starts left. Obviously he's going past what his the original limit was, about 164 innings. He's obviously going to go past that a little bit. But he should miss a few starts that he would have had to end the season. And as far as we know, he's not going to play in the playoffs. If the Nationals make it that far, they should be in the playoffs for sure. We talked about Lance Armstrong, I think, last week. But, yeah, he has officially stripped of all his accomplishments as a professional cyclist. I already told you my thoughts about this. You know, he's probably not the only one that's done this. What he has overcame and the work that he's put in, I think is enough work to own those titles that he's gotten. Whether or not maybe he used a couple of illegal substances, what he overcame to get that, you know, I think it came down to a few people that just didn't want him to have the fame and wanted to make big news. There's probably more people out there that, you know, they just don't want to go after, but they decided to go after Lance Armstrong. And I just think after all the people that he's inspired, everything that he's done for, I just don't like it. But, you know, I guess, you know, technically Lance Armstrong broke the rules, so they came down on him. And, you know, he's just upset and he's done with it. So, you know, just tough news. You know, he's been an American icon for a while. Also, last thing, Vontae Davis, Dolphins, of course, they were already on edge. And Vontae Davis, the cornerback, he did get traded to the Colts for a second-round pick. So he is no longer on the team as the Dolphins start their season next week. Any other top news?
Well, we're going on the we were just talking about the Dolphins there, so I'll just keep on with the Dolphins. After their loss to Dallas on Wednesday, their charter plane clipped another plane leaving the Dallas airport. Nobody was injured. Both planes were damaged. They had to wait to come home. A little stress on their part. But everybody's fine. But, of course, these things happen. And I love it. It happened in Dallas, of all places. On top of that, I will jump into tennis, because tennis is going on, the U.S. Open, and Andy Roddick, he did announce today that he will be retiring after this U.S. Open. He is ranked 20th currently and has made it through the first two rounds of the Open. So I thought that was interesting news for the day. And, you know, of course, our major people have made it through. Serena is into this through the second round. Venus is playing right now and losing in the second round currently, but I'm sure she will come back and win this. Sharapova, who is, you know, favored, the Russian, for the women. And then in the men's, we also have who in the second round? Federer made it through. There were three other Americans, Fish, Sock, and Quarry, and Roddick, all made it through for the first two rounds. And Djokovic, of course, has made it through to the third round. These games will be going on until the 9th, so I'm sure on next week's show we'll talk about how they fare up. What do you think about Roddick retiring?
I mean, I looked at his age, he's only 30. I'm not sure about Federer's age, but I think Federer's a little older. His career earnings, I believe, is around like $30 million or something. I don't know, man. Maybe it's just a personal choice. Maybe he's just not winning like he used to, and, you know, he just thinks that what's the point of playing if you're not going to win? You know, I'm sure he plays another 5 years. He'll still be in the top five. But, you know, for some people that's not good enough, and I don't know. I guess he's just tired of playing. And just kind of, he just feels like his time is up, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I will get into his earnings when we go to the stat of the week later. In other news today, I will jump to baseball. The Dodgers closer, Kenley Jansen, who has 25 saves currently and a 2.54 ERA, is going to be out indefinitely for the rest of the season due to an irregular heartbeat that they can't figure out what it's being caused by. And in other baseball news, my man A-Rod will finally get a chance to bat in the Class A Tampa League, the Yankees Tampa Farm team. He will be batting tomorrow as a DH. He broke his hand. He was hit by a pitch by Felix Hernandez on July 24th and hasn't picked up a bat since. But tomorrow we will find out if A-Rod's got a swing, and we need him for the playoffs.
Yeah, I actually kind of forgot about the Yankees a little bit, just hearing about the Dodgers and the Rangers and the Angels. And, you know, don't forget about the Yankees. They're obviously everything they put into their team. You know, they got a lot of veterans, and their veterans are doing very good. So, Ichiro, Jeter, you know, they're going to be ready to make a push. So, definitely don't forget about them.
Well, the Orioles have definitely cut the gap to 3 games, so it's starting to scare me come in the end of the season. So, I'd like to get A-Rod back as soon as possible.
Yeah, no question. All right. And with that, let's move into that was that double extended buzzer right there. With that, you know, the college football season started today. And just you guys get just to get you guys refreshed on the rankings, the AP Top 25 looks like this, 1 through 25. USC, surprisingly, actually has the top seed. USC is number 1, Alabama number 2, LSU number 3, Oklahoma number 4, Oregon number 5, Georgia number 6, Florida State, who is kind of my favorite to possibly make a run at the title, is number 7, Michigan at number 8, actually getting one first-place vote. South Carolina, who played tonight, was number 9. Arkansas, number 10. West Virginia, number 11. Wisconsin, number 12. Michigan State, number 13. Clemson, number 14. Texas, number 15. Virginia Tech, number 16. Nebraska, at number 17. Ohio State, number 18. Oklahoma State, number 19. The TCU Horned Frogs, number 20. Stanford, number 21, Kansas State, number 22, your Florida Gators at number 23, Boise State made the top 25 at number 24, and Louisville rounds out number 25. So those are your top 25. I believe there were some games on tonight, am I right?
Yes, Vandy, South Carolina, as you mentioned it, I believe number 7, they beat Vanderbilt today, 17-13. And I believe it was an interesting game. I didn't get to see anything about the game, but we spoke earlier before the show, and you mentioned something about Aaron Rodgers' brother, was it?
Yeah, he plays. He's a quarterback for Vanderbilt.
So he lost by, what, 4, is it, 17-13? And there
yeah,
was,
you know, I actually watched the game, and, you know, they came down. They actually had 2:03 timeouts left. Vanderbilt had the ball. They were about the 55-yard line. And, well, the 45 on the other side, 55 yards to go to touchdown. And it was a 4th-and-7, and a good pass. He got pressure, but he threw a good pass, and the guy would have caught it, but definitely pass interference. A no-call gave South Carolina the ball, and they were able to run down the clock. So a bad no-call happens. If they would have called it, you know, they would have been in their own territory, or in the Sacramento's territory with retirement. They had a really good shot to win the game, but, you know, it's just sports. Calls.
It does happen.
And,
it does happen.
Talk about some games going on this weekend.
Well, we'll pick up some of your top 10, and right now you have Washington State is playing BYU. That's currently going on. BYU winning 7-0 with 12 minutes left in the first. So that's underway right now. This weekend coming up of your top 20, I'll just name a few of the games that seem like they might be important. I'm not going to go through all 20. USC is starting at home Saturday against Hawaii at 7:30, evening game on the West Coast there. Number 2, Alabama is at home against Michigan, number 8, 8 o'clock start. LSU, even though the storm is ripping through Louisiana, and BYU just scored again as we speak on a 4th-and-1. That was pretty amazing. Getting back to the games here, LSU, even though there is, you know, a hurricane ripping through there, they are scheduled to start at home Saturday at 7 p.m. against North Texas. On the local game, I will choose, you know, our University of Miami. They will be starting against Boston, D.C. Neither of them ranked. And we also have, just for tomorrow, for my own personal, I went to Temple University. Villanova will be playing Temple at Temple tomorrow. And on the note of Penn State, after all the things that happened there, they will be starting off at home against Ohio. So we will see, we'll keep an eye on Penn State's season, even though they're not allowed into bowl games and have been punished very hard for the Sandusky problems. But we'll keep an eye and see, you know, how they do this year, how they fail against Ohio and against all the other teams.
Yeah, college football is always different, man. You know, the longest lifespan you technically have is 4, maybe 5 years. And, you know, just teams can switch and be good and be bad just one season after the next. So every year there's a new team that emerges, and it'll be interesting to see who comes out this year. I was a little surprised to see USC up there, but I believe the quarterback, Brinkley, is apparently the Heisman Trophy favorite. So we'll see how USC does. Like I said, I'm not really a huge Florida – I'm not really a college football fan. Like, I like FIU. It's my school. But I've been kind of raised to like the Florida team. So Florida State, you know, they're going to have a chance. So we'll see.
Do you know who FIU starts off against this year? I'm not seeing it on Saturday.
I think it's UCF, I believe.
I'll have to look into that.
I know we play UCF in the – I think it's our first home game. I'm not sure if that's our first game, but interesting stat also. Florida State actually plays only 3 games outside of Florida. All the other games are really like at a Florida team or at home. So I thought that was an interesting stat. It's a good thing I didn't say that for my stat of the week because I actually have another stat. But, yeah, I'll move it on just
Before we move on there, Mr. Zimmerman, Florida International FIU is playing Duke in the first game, Saturday at 7 p.m. in Carolina, in Duke.
They're still my team. If anybody doesn't know, I just graduated, but, you know, they're my team, man. You know, I've never been a huge college fan. I'm a major professional, but I am definitely rooting for FIU and a car alarm just went off. That's always pleasant when I'm trying to do a radio show. Okay, I'm glad that went off. Anyways, back to sports and not reality. Just talking about NFL. How about the preseason? I mean, I know it's kind of irrelevant, but wow, is that really the... the first thing I looked at was the... I'm talking about the standings so far in the preseason. The first thing I looked at was AFC East, and there's only one win for any AFC East team. The Patriots are doing the best in the AFC East at 1-3. The Jets and Bills are both 0-3, and the Dolphins are 0-4. Very interesting. Everybody in the AFC North is 2-1. In the AFC South, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Houston are both 2-1. The Colts are 1-2. The Chargers in the AFC West are actually undefeated. They're 3-0. Oakland, Denver, Kansas City are all 1-2. Look at the NFC East. The Eagles are 3-0. Cowboys and Redskins are both 3-1, and the Giants finished off at 2-2. The Chicago Bears in the NFC North, 2-1. Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, all 1-2. In the NFC South, the Panthers at 2-1. Tampa Bay, New Orleans, 2-2. The Falcons finished 1-2. Well, 1-2. They have another game this weekend. And the NFC West, Seattle actually finished 3-0 so far. I always say finished, but they have one more game this week. And San Francisco 2-1, the Rams 1-2, the Cardinals finished at 1-3. So those are your standings so far.
And just to jump in there on your standings about the AFC East, the Jets at 0-4 in their last game, they against the Eagles that they lost, they finally got their first touchdown, and it was a pass by Greg McElroy. who is like a third-string quarterback. He's like the third or the fourth quarterback, but he's the only touchdown they've had all preseason, and he finally gets it. He was 12 for 17, 90 yards passing, 37 yards rushing. He went to Alabama. I've never even heard of this guy, but apparently he was able to throw a pass for the only touchdown the Jets have got this preseason in four games. That's unheard of.
Yeah, let's just spice it up and just start him. That'd be so interesting. I think that'd be interesting.
Well, I'd love to see it, and I'm a Jets fan. I'd love to see it. What the heck?
Nah, you gotta see Tebow. But anyways, let's talk about the schedule so far. Schedules, I guess, tons of games on today. Yeah, there's all the games are on today, actually. I guess all the scores are pretty much final.
Yes, they are. The Niners still out. The Niners are still playing the Chargers right now. And the Seahawks,
Arizona, Denver, and Seahawks, Raiders. Well, here's the finals. New York Giants beating New England 6-3. Washington at home, 30-3 over the Bucks. Dallas at home, 30-13 over the Dolphins. Wow, did all the home teams win? That's ridiculous. Jacksonville at home, 24-14 over the Falcons. The Eagles, 28-10 over the Jets at home. The Lions, 38-32 over the Bills at home. Packers, 24-3 over the Chiefs at home. The Houston Texans beating Minnesota at home, 28-24. The Colts, 20. Bengals, 16. That's in Indianapolis. Pittsburgh beating Carolina, 17-16 at home. St. Louis beating Baltimore 31-17 at home. Tennessee beating New Orleans at home 10-6. The only road team to win so far was Chicago at Cleveland 28-20. And, yeah, three more games going on. Seattle currently up 6-0 on Oakland at home with 6:33 in the second. San Francisco up 21-0 with 2 minutes in the second over San Diego. And Arizona and Denver are tied. That's in Arizona with 8 minutes left in the first quarter. So those are your schedules so far. And now we're going to spice things up a little bit. This will get you kind of ready for my my new show, the Sunmost NFL pregame show. Wait for it. Stay in the middle.
And we're waiting for it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
We're waiting for it. Yo, hey. You know, can only press the buttons.
Yeah, I love that. My Raiders are losing to the Seahawks. I mean, I'm wondering about that. But...
Oh,
there we go.
Hey, either way, man, you can't count on the baby to be on time for anything. But yeah, that is my cue for the injury report. And this is what I want to get into for the next few months. This is the injury report I have so far. As of right now, in the NFL, I'm just going to run through it. For Baltimore, tight end Dennis Pitta has a hand injury, will not play in the final preseason game. For Baltimore, Terrell Suggs has an Achilles problem. He is on the players unable to perform list out at least 6 weeks. For Carolina, five players, John Beeson, hamstring out for the final preseason game, along with their running back Mike Tolbert with a quad injury. Wide receiver Steve Smith has a foot infection, should be ready to practice for week one, but he will not play the final preseason game. Jonathan Stewart, he has an ankle injury. And, I wrote all this before the game started, so I guess I should go to past tense. He missed the final preseason game. And Lewis Murphy with a hamstring injury didn't play at all, but he should be fine to start for the season opener. For Chicago, Brian Urlacher has a knee injury. He should be ready to practice for week one. Also, Johnny Knox with a back injury. He's going to start the season on the PUP list. The players unable to perform. For New England, Green Ellis has a foot injury. He's going to be out for – he was out for today's game. For Cleveland, Trent Richardson knee. He should be on the field soon. I think he's doubtful for week one. For Dallas, Mike Jenkins, shoulder injury questionable for week one. Dallas, Miles Austin, hamstring, should be ready for week one. Jason Witten had that major spleen injury. He's questionable for week one. I would be surprised to see him out there. I would see him probably sitting since he got an early game next Wednesday. Dez Bryant, ankle, he's working out, questionable for week one. DeMarcus Ware with a hamstring injury. They said he should be ready for week one. Out in Denver, Noshon Moreno, a knee injury, should be ready for the opening games. In Detroit, three players. Kevin Smith, ankle injury, he's out for the final game. Preseason, Jonathan Best, concussion. He's going to start the PUP list for the season, so he's not going to be playing for a little while. Stafford had an injury to his non-throwing hand. They said he's fine. He actually could have came in and played the game that he got injured, so no worries out there in Detroit. For the Packers, B.J. Raji has an ankle injury. He's questionable to start the season. In Texans, Andre Johnson has a rib injury, probable for week one. Texans, Brian Cushing has a rib injury. He should be fine for week one. Colts, Austin Colley, concussion. He should start week one. Chiefs, Brandon Flowers has a foot injury, didn't play today. He's questionable for week one. In Miami, David Garrard, he's not a starter anyway, so he's not gonna matter. But he's having a knee injury, but he's making progress. So if he gets healthy, I don't know, he's gonna take over the spot with Ryan Tannehill's field. So we'll see about that. Jake Long though has a sprained MCL, he could miss some serious time. Carlos Dansby, linebacker, he was out for today's game, questionable for week one. Brian Hartline, calf injury, he has not practiced yet, so I would be very surprised to see him out there starting for wide receiver in week one for the Dolphins. The only problem for Minnesota is Adrian Peterson. He's practicing, but you know they got to be careful with him. Whether he plays or not, he's doubtful for week one, but he's not going to be 100% for a while. For the Patriots, Jake Ballard has a knee injury. He's going to be in the PUP list. Wes Walker day-to-day, undisclosed reasons, but he should be fine for week one. For the Saints, Darren Sproles has a knee injury, didn't play today, but they said he should be fine for week one. For the Giants, Bradshaw, a hand injury. He did not play today. He should be fine for week one. Jets, Dustin Keller had a hamstring injury. He said he should be ready for the season opener, but I would say questionable at this point. Out in Oakland, Jacoby Ford, foot injury, did not practice, so I would say definitely questionable, maybe doubtful for week one. Janikowski has a groin injury. He should be ready for week one. I would say groin injury is a big deal for him. I mean, he's a kicker, but they said it should be ready. I still think he's probably the best kicker in the league. Philadelphia, Vic, we all heard about him, rib injury, but he should be fine. He's used to battling that injury. Also, Philly, Jason Babin, calf injury. They said he's probable for week one. San Diego, Ryan Matthews has a broken clavicle. He is practicing. He's not going to be 100% for week one. Maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. He's questionable. For the 49ers, Brandon Jacobs has a knee injury, questionable. LaMichael James, also questionable for week one. So, 49ers having some running back issues. Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch has back spasms. He sat out today, but he should be fine for week one. And last but not least, in Washington, we have Hightower at the knee injury. He didn't play today. And Roy Helu did not. He has an Achilles injury. He did play, but had a good game, so he should be fine. Those two players should be fine for week one. So no big deals. So that is your injury report. Nothing too serious out there. So, you know, it's tough to say. You know, people don't play week four of the preseason just because, you know, they don't want to get them hurt anyways. You know, RG3 didn't play today either, but they didn't want to get him injured. Which brings up a question, why RG3 didn't play. Would you play a player like that in week four? I mean, a guy that's never played a regular season game. I mean, they don't play and they don't want to get injured, but do you think he needs the time? Like, do you think they should put him out there to practice? Like, what do you feel about that?
I think, you know, they run him through the motions in their practices. I mean, I think that he'll survive when it comes time to be in a real game. You don't want to risk injuring him. You know, I heard you mention Brian Urlacher injured, probably did it making that Xfinity commercial. He should stop making commercials and concentrate on the NFL. But I feel that they don't need to put him out there in a preseason game and risk the injury. He knows the speed of the game. I'm sure they're going, you know, almost full speed at practice now. They're not running at, you know, half speed or three-quarter speed. they're probably up to full motion at practice right now. So I don't think you want to risk to injure a player. Just let them ride out, save them from this game, and let them go for game one.
I mean, to be honest with you, man, you got Andrew Luck and RG3. We've been excited about the top two quarterback picks before, and it hasn't panned out, but I like these two guys. I mean, I think there's no problem for Luck. RG3, you know, hit or miss. We've had some Heisman Trophy winners that really just haven't done anything in the NFL. I think Troy Smith came out of Ohio State, didn't play very good. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, didn't play anything. I think he plays for Baltimore now. I think his problem was a height issue. But I think RG3 puts in the work, man. He's a confident, smart kid, and he's obviously got a good arm, too. He's not just fast. He had so many passing yards last season. So I don't know, man. I think they're going to both do good. It'll be very interesting to see. Obviously, Cam Newton did very well last year. So very psyched to see what happens this year for both of them. And also, all of my files are, like, a little bit off speed. Well, it is 30 past the hour, so you know that time is here. Well, all right. It's going to come on any moment now. But after the stat of the week, I will have a power rankings for you guys. And this thing is just...
And just an update while we're waiting for that. Venus Williams won the second set, and she's tied up in the third set. She lost the first set to Angelique Kerber, who is the German. And we're taking a look at the Washington State BYU game, and BYU is up 14-3. Washington State kicked the field goal. There's still 10.5 minutes left in the first, and 10.5 minutes left in the second half. So we'll see what's going on in that game.
You know, my problem is like I get too far away from my Wi-Fi, and then my Wi-Fi doesn't work as well. And I get too close to my Wi-Fi, and I'm too close to the building, and my phone doesn't work. That man jumps through some hoops.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology.
All right, we're going to get in my set of the week. I can't even actually play the song right now. All right, you can imagine the song. But without further ado, let's get into my stat of the week. And my stat of the week is actually about the Cincinnati Reds, believe it or not. A team that just came out of nowhere. No talk about them all year long. Yes, that is my cue. You know, I moved halfway close to my Wi-Fi, and that did a trick right there. And so a fold can hold up. But, yeah, without further ado, my stat of the week is about the Reds. And Johnny Cueto, how about the Reds have the best record in baseball at 80-52? Now, this is without Joey Votto, believe it or not, their best player. I believe he won the MVP a few years back last year. And Johnny Cueto has the most wins in baseball as well. He has 17 wins. So that's my set of the week. It's pretty incredible. So the Reds came out of nowhere. No reason to cut them out. How about you?
I'm happy for them. I mean, I'd like to see these underdog teams that haven't won in years, you know, coming up, the Pirates, the Reds. I like to see them, you know, it's good for their hometown, you know, Cincinnati. You know, they must be happy, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, no, that's Cleveland's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. One of those two. And me, for the start of the week, I'm going to go back to tennis and talk about Andy Roddick and how much money he's earned. Since you mentioned that earlier, he has earned $20,499,120 in career earnings. He jumped through pretty, fame in 2003.
It's pretty exact. Pretty exact the amount of money he's made.
Yes, I had to look these stats up. And his first Grand Slam was 2003, the U.S. Open. It's probably why he chose to retire after the U.S. Open. And it was against Juan Carlos Ferrero. And after that, he went to the finals at Wimbledon 2004, 2005, 2009, losing all three times to Roger Federer. So I got to a bad friend for that. But overall career record, he had 607 wins, 209 losses for a 74.39% win ratio. He has 32 titles, and right now he's ranked 20th, but he has been ranked number one in the world. And he also has four titles in doubles. He's 67 and 49, so 57.75 win rate and doubles tennis. So, I mean, the man is he put in his dues, and, you know, I'm happy for him, and I hope he can win this last U.S. Open and go out on the bank and go out on top.
Yeah, that'd definitely be a good story. Definitely. So I hope he does go on top. Good for him. And with that,
американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
One thing, the Zen Man officially has his power rankings. I went for the top 10. And I was like, you know what, it's weak. Go for the top 32. And I have a top 32 power rankings. If you saw me on Facebook, you got the taste of the bottom 16. And that's where I'm gonna kick it off. Leave the suspicion if I go from the bottom. And here's my power ranking so far. Let's kick it off at number 32. I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. At number 31, Kansas City. At number 30, I have St. Louis. 29, I do have Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is a good quarterback, but they were on a really bad team last year, and they haven't proven anything yet. At number 28, I have Tennessee. 27, I have the Cleveland Browns. At 26, I have Tampa Bay. At 25, I have Minnesota. At 24, the Miami Dolphins. I tried to put them as high as I could, but I just couldn't find a higher spot than that. Number 23, I have the Oakland Raiders. Number 22, the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals, I have a lot of faith in them, but they haven't even picked a quarterback yet, so it's really hard for me to put them any higher. 21, I have Seattle. At number 22, I have the Washington Redskins. Number 19, your Buffalo Bills. At number 18, I have the Denver Broncos. 17, I have the San Diego Chargers. At number 16, the New York Jets. At number 15, Cincinnati Bengals. At 14, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 13, the Dallas Cowboys. At number 12, the Atlanta Falcons. At number 11, Chicago Bears. And my top 10 goes like this. Number 10, the New York Giants. Number 9, Detroit Lions. Number 8, the Carolina Panthers. Number 7, the Houston Texans. Number 6, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 5, the Saints. 4, the Patriots. At 3, the Ravens. 2, the 49ers. And yes, at number 1, the Green Bay Packers. So that is my top 32. Do you have any input on that at all?
Well, I love the fact that you chose my Raiders above your Dolphins. So that definitely makes me feel good. I'm just wondering how you got to your power rating of San Francisco, number 2. Better than
they have.
And better than...
Yeah. They, I mean, you know, teams move up. Last year, the Patriots probably above the Ravens, but this year, the Ravens above the Patriots. You know, this team's getting better. The 49ers proved a lot last year. I mean, I like the Saints. They have a great offense, but at the same time, is their defense – I mean, I go for defense first, to be honest with you. The Packers have enough defense and offense to overpower the 49ers, but the 49ers by far have the best defense in the league. They're incredible. It took a while for Alex Smith to finally grow up and be a good quarterback, but he did that last year. Vontae Davis is possibly definitely top three. He could be the best tight end in the league. They got a few good players, Brandon Jacobs, and I believe Mario Manningham. They have a good team, man. I just didn't want to put them up with the Packers because the Packers haven't shown any sign of weakness, and they're still probably the best team in the NFL. So they have
Do you feel that the bounty, the whole bounty scandal in New Orleans has affected them to the point where they would drop in the rankings like this, you know, dropping your power?
They don't have a coach right now, you know. They don't have a coach. They're going to be between two different coaches this year. And not to mention, they lost John Zilma for the year. Not to mention three other suspensions. I do believe in Drew Brees, but it's just one player. Darren Sproles, he's a mega player this year, but that's it. You know, they lost their captain on defense. Like I said, and I heard it earlier, like him at home is going to win seven, maybe even eight games. They're going to have a great record. They're going to make the playoffs one way or the other. But, you know, you have a 49ers, you have a complete defense, and a pretty good offense themselves. They actually beat the Saints last year. So you tell me, you know. Saints are number five. It's not like I put them too low.
No. Well, I agree with that number five, and that's why I would agree with it, is because of the whole, you know, everything falling apart with them with this. And, I mean, they're trying to, you know, go to the courts and have this reversed and go to players' unions and have all this stuff reversed. But it's out there. They just need to buckle down and just make it through and get in the playoffs any way they can at this point. They're not going to make it in there to win the division. They just need to, you know, make it into the wild card and hopefully, you know, there's hope for the best at the end. Like you said, they can't do it off their quarterback alone.
Well, you know, not that they're probably the best team in the division still, but they're just going to come down to wins. You know, Carolina's going to put up probably 9 or 10 wins this year. Atlanta always puts up 10 or 11 wins, regardless of what they do in the playoffs. So, you know, they got to keep up with them. Just be interesting to see what they do, to be honest with you. But I believe in Breeze. They gave him the big contract. So, you know, they're going to put up points. Darren Sproles was one of the best. I think he had maybe the most or the top two for yards for scrimmage. Obviously, Breeze shattered Emery's record last year. Clearly, they're going to put up points, and their defense isn't horrible. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Cam Newton, I think, is going to have a monster second year.
Oh, yeah, for Carolina. First year. So, yeah, he's only going to get better. I mean, he didn't have any experience last year, and you add all the experience he has to now, dude, he's going to be unbelievable. No question. A guy that broke tons of Peyton Manning's records. I mean, he threw for 4,000 yards. It's insane. Truly insane, man. But, yeah, let's move on to – I actually brought up my exact predictions. You'll see Chris Berman do this on ESPN, usually before the games. Like, you only pick up five games, but here is all the games. Here's my predictions. Are you ready? I got the Cowboys at the Giants. I have the Giants winning 31-20. Colts at the Bears. I have the Bears winning 27-16. Falcons at the Chiefs. I have the Falcons winning 31-18. Eagles at Browns. I think this will be a game for the Eagles. I think they win 41-22. Redskins at Saints. Saints, I think, will win this really close, 27-24. Lions at home against the Rams. I think the Lions win big, 38-17. That combination between Stafford and Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, I think, you know, they're going to do wonders all year long. Titans hosting the Patriots. I think Patriots win 31-20. Vikings hosting the Jaguars. I think Vikings will win 27-10. Bills at the Jets. I just don't think the Jets – you know, are really comfortable on offense. I have the Bills win 34-21. Dolphins at the Texans. Yeah, I still have the Texans winning this one, 30-24. Dolphins, I don't think they have the worst offense ever, but Texans should, you know, they have a lot of people coming off injuries, you know, with Schaub and Johnson, but they're clearly the better team here, and they always have our number. The Seahawks, I think, win 30-27 at Arizona. 49ers, Packers, I think the 49ers are going to win this one, 30-35. That is my upset. Isn't really an upset. I mean, it's at Green Bay, but I think the 49ers have this one by 3 points. Panthers at Buccaneers. I think Panthers won 38-24. Steelers at Broncos. I think the Broncos will win this one 24-18. I'm very iffy on the Steelers this year. They always seem to do well, so I can't say they're not going to do well. I just don't know where they're going to get their offense from. Their running game struggled a lot last year, but I think the Broncos are going to win the first game at home. Ravens hosting the Bengals. I have the Ravens winning 31-24. And then my final game is the Chargers at the Raiders. And I don't think the Raiders can do much this year. I have Chargers winning 33-25. Do you have any other predictions that...
So I'm looking at your predictions there. And I would say, looking at what you have, the Eagles-Browns game, I don't think it's going to be that wide apart. I think the Eagles will win, but not by almost 20, maybe, 14. The Redskins-Saints, that tight call is a good one. Definitely agree with that. The Lions-Rams, the Lions is like the most improved team, and I'm loving them, so I'm hoping they can blow it out like that. Pats and the Titans, I don't know if the Pats are going to beat them by 11. It may be a close game. I'd say a 23-20 maybe, or 20-17. Bills and Jets, that's my team, the Jets, but I really don't feel they have an offense yet, so I don't even think they're going to score 21 points. I mean, it took them four games and a third-screen quarterback to score one touchdown, so I don't even think they're going to get the 21 points you predicted.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but I try not to base too much off preseason. I mean, if you look at half the games that ended tonight, that score would never happen in the regular season. So I wouldn't take it too much. I mean, the Jets are going to score touchdowns this season, obviously. So what? I mean, they only played three or four games. So, but you have a point there.
Your Packers upset. We're on the same page. Your Packers upset. I don't foresee the Packers losing the home opener. In Lambeau Field. I think it's going to be a close game like you predicted, but I think the Packers will come out on top on that one.
Yeah, I mean, the
Steelers-Broncos, that one, you can't base enough off the preseason, and they've got Peyton. The question is, how well is this offense going to click with him in there when it's a full-time thing? I feel the Steelers, even though they were struggling last year, I feel they have a little more cohesion and might be able to win this game. So I think they may be able to sneak one out in Denver, maybe a 21-17, 21-14 type game. Your Bengals-Ravens, I definitely agree with. And Chargers-Raiders, I think that game's going to be a little more lopsided. Like you said, I don't even though I'm a Raiders fan, I don't predict them doing great things this year. I don't see them scoring the 25 points that you gave them. I see them getting maybe 20, 21, and the Chargers probably blowing them out, maybe even 38 instead of 33.
Yeah. I mean, Carson Palmer, I don't see anything in him. They had McFadden. I mean, I don't even know what his status is. He should be healthy, but like I said, he's not going to get back into his full form. So, I don't know, man. I mean, McFadden's a beast. If he can come back and kind of support that team, but I don't know. You saw last year with the Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew, most rushing yards in football, and they still didn't even have more than, three wins. So.
Your Labor Day weekend, but take 10-25%.
Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. Man. Like, the videos just come up here randomly.
What happened?
No, video popped up when I was trying to look up a stat real quick. All
right, nah, that's cool. I always want to hear the new cardio. what else you got on? You got more to talk about football?
I'm anxious for what's going on. I mean, I can't wait for it to kick off. You know, the ref thing is pretty,
it's bad. Like, I didn't think it was going to be this bad, but, I mean, luckily they had their taste in the preseason. They're going to definitely, they know they're going to have to get up there in the regular season. I mean, they've been in big crowds being in college, so I don't know if it's necessarily a pressure, but they just have to get down those new rules. And
Stephen A. says,
it's all they give them.
From the lingerie league. What is the lingerie league?
Oh,
I've never even
actually
heard of that.
Well, I think it's a women's league. I've heard. I don't think it's that serious, but if that's the truth, then that's ridiculous. I don't know. That's totally ridiculous. But at least giving, I mean, if you gave me at least a couple minutes to check under the cameras, you know, like they're saying, then I'll get every call, right? You know, I know everything about football. I'm not going to get them right probably on the field because I'm not scared, you know, I'm not scared like that. But if I see it on replay, of course I can make the right call. As long as I can do that, whatever. So, every game lasts another half an hour the first couple weeks. At least you're getting it right. I don't think anybody's going to complain about a longer football game. It is what it is. But at least they gave them the option for that. So that's good.
And just to jump in there, BYU has scored another field goal, so it is 17-3, BYU over Washington State in that game.
Yep. So,
Another interesting football tidbit today. The NFL, they motioned to dismiss the 140 concussion lawsuits against them by 3,300 players who have suffered concussions and have had problems, all former players in the NFL who have filed lawsuits because they've had problems after leaving the NFL due to concussions they had during the game. The NFL is fighting it vigorously, and I really think instead of trying totally to dismiss the charges, the NFL should be trying to working to settle, you know, to settle this because, like we said earlier, this is a $9.3 billion business who has affected these players, these people who have performed for them and made this business a $9.3 billion business. And now when they're out of the business and suffering, they're like, oh, well, that was part of your contract. Oh, well, you should have complained during your contract tenure. And now that you've left the contract, we are not, you know, obligated to do anything for you. I think they should be able to settle this in some way and help these people out instead of just trying to totally frivolously just dismiss it under some kind of clause that's in the contract about them.
I can see the players being hard-headed. Maybe the lockout was both of their faults, but this is kind of looking bad on the NFL now. Like, I don't think the refs are that hard-headed. Like, they're just trying to get what's fair, you know? And
oh, no, I'm talking about the refs. I'm talking about the lawsuits for the concussion.
Oh, right.
But I was bringing up. I'm thinking, you know, the NFL should, like, really be trying to have settle this in some way, and BYU scores again, 24-3. I think they should be pushing to settle this in a way that's good for the former players because that's only going to draw problems with the current players because what are these guys going to think when they're out there on the field saying, you know what, I get a concussion. When I leave the sport, the NFL is going to do nothing for me and I'm going to end up like so-and-so who played and got several concussions and now he's struggling to get by. He's struggling to, you know, deal with his medical payments and whatever. So they need to come to some kind of settlement that seems agreeable for the former players so the current players don't feel that they have to worry when they're on the field about taking a hit and getting a concussion and ending up like these other players who have taken hits in the past. You know, and they're trying to get – the NFL's trying to get out of it on a technicality on the contract signing, saying that they had a certain amount of time from the time they left the NFL to file something. And since they waited so long, the NFL's not liable anymore. But you know what? These things, years down the road, you find out you're having these mental problems, getting hit in the head and getting concussions, it's not something that pops up right away. So I don't feel that they should get off on technicality. I feel they should try to do something that will help the former players and also give assurance to the current players that if something happens to you later when you leave the NFL, we've got your back.
Yeah, they have the money. I don't know why they're doing this. It's stupid. But I mean, we'll see what happens. But yeah, there's definitely something that needs to be looked at, and you know, we'll see what they do. We'll obviously be talking about this next show for sure. So we'll see what happens with that, all right? And with that, I forgot about it. You know, last week I talked about the poll rankings I had. And, you know, I posted on Facebook my poll rankings. I had three questions that I had polled. My first question I had was, who will have the most passing yards in the NFL this season? With 27% of the vote, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Andrew Brees all tied. Peyton Manning, I got 9% of the vote, and 9% also went to other. I also posted who won the NBA championship this year. With two-thirds of the vote, the Heat won that one. The Thunder also got one-third, and another, I said other team got one vote as well. And my final poll question was, who will win the Super Bowl this year? And with a third of the vote, the Patriots. With another third, the Ravens. And then with the last third, the San Francisco 49ers. So I think it'll be close. I think it'll be the Ravens and the Niners. I think defense wins championships. And I think it's the Ravens' year. They almost did it last year, and they're going to do it this year. I like Flacco. Ray Rice, I think, is possibly the best running back in the NFL. He's the most complete running back. So we'll see. I think that's going to be where I'm at. A Super Bowl match.
Yeah, Flacco just doesn't inspire the confidence. He doesn't make – I don't find him to be that leader that will lead them to – a Super Bowl victory. Defense does win Super Bowls, does win championships, but I don't think he's got that edge to give them enough points to win it. I watched him crumble.
Hey, if the Ravens could do it with Trent Dilfer, I think they could do it with Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco is getting better. I don't even see it, but he showed some signs last year. They were a field goal away from winning it, getting in the Super Bowl, and just didn't happen. So, I don't know. I think it's a year. Torrey Smith, the wide receiver, he's up and coming, and I don't know, man. I just you have your own opinions, but I think they're gonna get there. But don't be surprised if the Patriots are there too. It'll be very surprising to see, interesting to see who the other four teams that get it. You know, the Patriots and the Ravens will be there, but the other four, I don't know. I don't know. But you know, like I said, we'll see. And the final thing I want to get into, obviously, is my MLB update. And as you should know already, the Yankees still have the best record in the AL East at 75-55. The Baltimore creeping up, though, 3 games back. Tampa Bay, 4.5 back. Yeah, Baltimore, yeah, they made it. I'm surprised. It was good. Boston, 13.5 back. So, and Toronto, 16 back. Those two definitely, I think, out of it. The White Sox still leading the Central at 72-58. Detroit, 3 games back. Everybody else, double digits. So two-team race there. In the AL West, Texas has the lead, 77-53. The A's are only 4 games back. Angels, 9 games back. I'm really surprised. Angels with Mike Trout and Pujols. I'm just really surprised that they're struggling. In the National League East, you have the Nationals still leading that division. They're gonna win this division. I mean, the Braves are hanging in there, but the Nats got it. They're 79-51. Atlanta 5.5 games back. Everybody else is just miles away. The National League East Central, Cincinnati Reds, like I said, best record in baseball at 80-52. The Cardinals 3.5 back. Pittsburgh 9 back. And then everybody else is 17-29. Wow, the Houston Astros, 40 games back. It's ridiculous. They are officially eliminated from the playoffs. Ah, yes, the first E.
Just to bring it up, the Phillies are ahead of the Mets and the Marlins.
And they're 62.
Yet still 13 million games back and will never catch up. But, just wanted to throw that in there. And Atlanta's got pretty much a free ride on the next 3 games because they're going to destroy the Phillies in the next 3 games. But,
whatever makes you feel better. And the National League West, the final division, San Fran somehow has a 4-game lead on the Dodgers. Dodgers, obviously, with a huge trade this week. Didn't even talk about that. Huge blockbuster trade, landing Josh Beckett. And I believe Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez to go along with their previous trade of getting Hanley Ramirez. They already have Matt Kemp, Andre Ether. That team is loaded. They have Ellis as their catcher. That team is just loaded. But still trailing the Giants. And all the Giants have done was lose Melky Cabrera. don't know, man. I'm rooting for the Giants, the Dodgers, and they obviously want to spend all the money. And struggling, I call it struggling, so it's funny to me. And the Diamondbacks, 10 back, I don't think they're going to have a chance. But we'll see how that one. I mean, you know the Dodgers still have a chance, but we'll see. My thought is, you know, they got all these players, but, you know, they're all struggling. So just because they're on a new team doesn't mean, you know, Hanley struggled, Adrian Gonzalez struggled, Crawford struggled since he's been at Red Sox. You know, Beckett not playing his best. So, I mean, should they play better? Yeah, but, you know, this isn't really the season, so it's really interesting to see how they're all going to play together. It's very interesting to me. Just looking at your upcoming schedules, and yes, there's a month left in baseball, if you were wondering. And there's about six games till the NFL season starts next Wednesday night. But here is your weekend schedules. Giants at the Cubs. So just, you know, the Giants, like I said, that's three more easy games for them, probably. Orioles at Yankees. That's a good game. That's a good series, man. The Orioles, if they sweep them, they're tied. They probably have a tiebreaker. White Sox at Tigers. That's a huge game, too. Those are the two teams left in the AL Central, three games back. Cardinals at Nationals. Pretty big series for both teams. Rangers at Indians. Rays at Blue Jays. Mets at Marlins. That's a huge series, you know. Who wants to be the worst team in the National League? You know? That's a huge game right there. Phillies, and surprisingly, they want to give shots out to R.A. Dickey, hanging in there with the Mets. He's 16-4. It's pretty impressive for being on that team. And if it's not too late to change my AL Cy Young Award winner, I would like to now give it to Felix Hernandez and not Justin Verlander. I saw Felix, and look at the team that he's on, being the Mariners, and what he's done for that team.
All right, I can't give him the Cy Young because he broke A-Rod's hand, so I can't give it to him.
You should give him the award because he broke A-Rod's hand. You got it all wrong. A-Rod's already got him back. They got Ichiro. Come on. All right. It's all good. Yeah, like you said, Phillies at Braves. Braves should beef up there, you know. Reds at the Astros. Reds, you know, they have the best record in baseball. They're playing the worst team in baseball. So hopefully, well, not hopefully, but they should keep going. Some more wins. Twins at Royals. Important series right there. Pirates at Brewers. Pirates still fighting for that playoff spot. Brewers way out of it. Padres at Rockies. Red Sox at Athletics. Athletics obviously still fighting for a playoff spot. Red Sox have an outside chance. Angels at Mariners. And the D-backs at the Dodgers. So those are your weekend schedules. And just thought I'd get into my stats really quickly. And just looking at the National League. Now, I looked this up on the internet. You have to have 502 at-bats to be qualified for the batting title. Melky Cabrera is leading the National League with a .346 batting average, but he's only got 459 at-bats. Obviously, if he was still playing, he's on pace to get that, but he's not going to get it because he's suspended. So, you know, if I'm doing the math right, Melky Cabrera is not even going to be in the picture. Even if he gets the highest batting average, he's not going to be allowed to even qualify. So right below him is Andrew McCutchen at .344, Buster Posey .325, Yadier Molina .324, then David Wright at .317. Your home run leaders for the National League: Ryan Braun, 36 home runs. Giancarlo Stanton, I'm saying that like that because you look at Braun at 122 games, Carlos Beltran, number three, 124 games, and Stanton with 104 games. He's got over 100 less at-bats than either one of them. He's got 29 homers. I mean, he has just been on a tear. He really has. I think in the last 15 games, he's probably got 12 home runs. Like, he's just on fire. I really hope. He's batting .291. I mean, you just can't say enough about him. I know I'm a Marlins fan, but he's the best. He's going to be the best home run hitter next year. I mean, he's just incredible.
It's amazing to see that and see the Marlins doing so bad. And just like it's amazing to see David Wright with such a great average on such a mediocre, poor team.
It takes a whole team, man. It really does.
It's got to be frustrating for them. Like, I'm doing my part. Where are the rest of you guys, you know?
Bam has hit some mammoth shots, and he's incredible. He's younger than me, too. It's crazy. But like I say, Carlos Beltran, 28 homers, Jay Bruce, 27, and Alvarez for the Pittsburgh Pirates has 21.
How about Jason Kubel?
Yeah, tied with him, Jason Kubel for Arizona. Yeah. And just some notables for that MVP award, Andrew McCutchen at 4. They were along with his, at this point, leading average. So, my last thing I want to check out, I went on average, the RBI leaders. Braun leading in the RBIs as well. Holiday with 90. Beltran, 85. Freeman with 82. Also tied with him. Four others, Carlos Gonzalez, Chase Headley, Ramos Ramirez, and Hanley Ramirez, all tied with him. So those are your NL leaders. Really quickly run down the AL before we end the show. Your home run, well, let's see, your average leaders for, it's just, I mean, Mike Trout leading an average, 339. But the guy I picked right below, 325, Miguel Cabrera, Derek Jeter, your boy, batting 321, age 38. Prince Fielder, 314. That's pretty impressive. I didn't know Prince Fielder was batting so good.
Yeah.
Paul Konerko at 312. Also, Joe Mauer at 312 as well. Your home run leaders is, and this is incredible, Adam Dunn. I mean, it kind of comes sometimes, but he's got 38 home runs. He has got 188 strikeouts, which I think is the most in baseball. And he's only batting 204, but he's leading the league in home runs. That's just incredible. It's fascinating. He's got 94 hits and 38 home runs. That's just, he's almost got half his hits as home runs. That's fascinating, man. It really is. Josh Hamilton batting way better. He's batting 292, but he's got 36 homers. Encarnacion, 34. And then Josh Willingham and Curtis Granderson both have 33 homers. Miguel Cabrera with 32. And your RBI leaders, I know Hamilton's leading this one with 112. Cabrera, 107. Willingham, 96. I say Willingham with emphasis because he's played for the Marlins. I'm glad he's, you know, he of course got traded like everybody else, but I'm glad to see him shining in Minnesota. Prince Fielder, 93. And Encarnacion with 89. Tied with 88, you have Adam Dunn and Pools. And before I let you all go, let's just check out the pitching really quick. Just your ERA leaders for the AL. Like I said, Felix Hernandez, 2.43 ERA with a 13-5 record. David Price, 2.53 ERA with a 16-5 record. Verlander, 2.80 with a 12-2 record. I don't see how that could be better than Felix. You know, I picked Verlander, but I think, or did I pick Price? I don't know who I picked last week.
I picked Verlander, didn't I?
Did I pick? I don't know, man, but I'm picking Hernandez now. Sale, 2.81 with a 15-5 record, and Beaver. With a 16-3 record with a 2.85 ERA, it's not so bad. But I think you got to look at the ERA more than anything, because you can't really control wins and losses, honestly, especially when you play in the Mariners. For the NL, like I said, John Rizzo leading the way with 17 wins, 17-6. Now, this is interesting because Jordan Zimmermann is playing for the Nationals. He has the second best ERA at 2.63. He's played just as many games as everybody else. And a 9-A record. I find that fascinating because the Nationals have the second or third best record in the NL. And he can only manage a 9-A record, his ERA. I mean, you'll get there at this point, but again, can that really be his fault? I don't know.
No, I can't. You know, it's not his fault, definitely. And that leads me to wonder, like, when they make it to the playoffs without, you know, Strasburg. You know, will he, with this ERA, you know, well, if you don't have that extra winning pitcher in there, will you be able to survive a 5-7, maybe a 5-game series, you'll survive the 7-game series? Will you survive without a Strasburg? That's where the question comes in. I mean, this guy's got a great ERA, and the bats are just not producing for him for some reason. I mean, Strasburg has 15 wins, and Gio Gonzalez has 16 wins. I mean,
And those two are batting 11th and 12th in the National League. Strasburg with 305 ERA and Gonzalez 328. I mean, it's a lot different from, you know, 263, but obviously they're both very good, very similar. But, yeah, it just happens, man. I don't know how to explain it. Just in St. Louis, Kyle Loesch with a 14-2 record, that's pretty good. 264 ERA. It's a slightly worse ERA than Zimmerman, but he's 14-2 and not 9-8. It's incredible. Like I said, all right, thank you. 16-4 with 276 ERA. He's a bad team. Matt Cain, 13-5. He's got the perfect game this year. He's got a 282 average. Just other notables, Clayton Kershaw right behind him, 284 with a 12-7 record. That's my MLB update.
I could just add one thing into your MLB update, what is impressing me on the stats here is when you look at the save stats for pitchers, in the American League, usually top of that list, number one, Mariano Rivera for the Yankees, almost always. And he injured himself and he's not playing. But number three is Rafael Soriano, who has, you know, taken up for Mariano, you know, with him out.
Oh,
and he is
saves.
Number three with 34 saves. I'm pretty impressed. And Papelbon as a Philly with 30 saves in the top five there. That is also, you know, I'm glad to see that. We wish, and the Phillies doing so horrible, yet Papelbon has 30 saves. It's probably the only 30 games they won. I don't know.
Yeah, no, right. They've like won like 32 games, so I love where the two came from. Nah, they won like 32 games. I don't want to get you guys down. Tomorrow's another year. Next year's another year, not tomorrow. But yeah, luckily I had the Miami Heat to kind of lay my head on. With these rough times for the Marlins, and I don't think it's going to get too much better with the Dolphins, but that's why they made fantasy football, so at least I have something to do. But that's it, man. Do you have any last thoughts? Any final thoughts?
Good week in sports here going on. I'm just, you know, amped for the upcoming. BYU is at halftime right now, just to let everybody know. It's a 24-6 game, so Washington State's probably actually...
That's not what I asked, Troy. Isn't it? No. Isn't it? Yes.
And Venus Williams looks like she might close out. It's 5-4 in the last set. So it looks like Venus might get into the next round. She's struggling, but she might just make it. And that's my last little note before we go.
Cool, man. All right. With that, I just want to say thank you all for listening in again for another edition of Sizzle Sports Wrap. And I definitely will be live next Thursday night with Hootie again at 11 o'clock. And September 9th, following that show, I might do it Saturday night because I think I may have to. It may be Saturday night, but it will definitely be playing Sunday morning. Either way, just watch out for the Sizzle Sports Wrap pregame show. I'll keep you guys up to date with my fantasy predictions, schedules, injury reports, all that good stuff. So it's about a half an hour of NFL goodness. So keep a lookout for that. With that, I want to say thank you all for listening in. Thank you, Hootie, for joining me as usual. And I'll see you guys next week. Good luck to all your college football teams starting this week. And good luck to all your NFL teams next week, all right? So with that, thank you all for listening. I'll see you all next week.
Good night and peace.
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Dwayne. For the bomb! Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from the eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall! Take a look around. Goal!
Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look. This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.